This is Exploring the Marketplace podcast, and I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Houston, and together we're inviting you into a conversation about what God's doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective from our commentary and stay for the main course for our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Sean Bowles, and this is Bob Hassan. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm just great, Sean. How are you? What are we doing today?
Oh my gosh, today on the show, we're starting with real topics, of course, with you and I. We're going to be talking about the Forbes new report on generative AI, which is basically reporting that all major companies are going to adopt generative AI within, Bob, get this, within 3 years. I know we talked about this right before the show, but this is way faster than everybody else thought it was going to be. And it's going to change the landscape of all the job market for marketing and cybersecurity, manufacturing, even creativity. And you and I are going to discuss this.
And then, Sean, you're going to love this. We have William van der Bloemen, and he's solving the problem of human resources. He was a pastor. He has a research company that's so innovative that he's becoming one of the top companies in its sphere. William's going to be sharing from his life story and his heart, and get ready for some breakdown and breakthrough.
Oh, I can't wait. I love to ask people like William, like the real story, because he's so successful. And he's such a voice to both the church, but also to kind of the job market. And so the fact that he's in a Fortune 500 company and, you know, he's done what he's done, all the different consulting he's done. It's just, it's really important to hear from people like William on our discussion when it's about life stories, about how God and faith affect career. Well, we have listener feedback, Bob, every week. And this week we have a listener who wrote on YouTube at Kristen Gut Rodriguez. She said, always looking forward to your videos. Thank you. And this is so simple, but why is this important, Bob?
Well, it's important because it means the world to us. You and I are sitting here doing these podcasts and videos because we're so engaged in seeing people's lives and seeing the struggle, seeing the breakthrough, and hearing the stories. Sean, what do you always say about stories?
Oh my gosh, I say it too much. If a picture is worth a thousand words, a life story is worth a thousand sermons. And it's true, because if people are, this is the most common comment we get or feedback we get on, like, on podcasts or reviews, is I can't wait for the next episode, or I can't wait for your videos, or I can't wait for the podcast. That means the world to us. Like, when you're making content on the level we've made it, we made 100 and whatever episodes, we need to hear that from you. We need to hear, if you love the show, please send us a comment. Please tell us how it's been affecting you. Share your testimony and also ask your questions. You can go to bowlsministries.com or anywhere podcast services, or go to our YouTube. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of our conversation. We care about you. I think it's so important. Well, Bob, let's get into, here we go, real talk.
Real topic, Sean. So I'm reading this. There was a report out on Forbes with Deloitte, the consulting company, about talking about AI is coming faster than anyone thought, and the confidence in AI to handle jobs rolls up by 31%. So we always hear about people being afraid, but 31%, the areas that are most benefiting are IT, cybersecurity, marketing, sales and customer service, product development, R&D, strategy and operations, supply chain, manufacturing, finance, human resources, legal risk and compliance, basically everything.
Everything.
Basically everything. Yeah. In other words, a huge sector of the workforce is at risk to be replaced, or at least put in a different position where only human talent can suffice. According to this article in Forbes, AI is infiltrating creative industries like advertising, film, music, graphic design, and some say up to 90% of artists will not be needed in commercial efforts in the next 10 years. Sean, let's talk about it. There's a lot of fear surrounding AI. Tell us what you know.
Well, you know, I think God gives us tools, and he gives us tools that are going to advance us in ways that are going to, are help tools for humanity to move humanity forward in his plan. And of course, it moves exploits. And we know that the internet's so important, but before it became really important to the average person, it was filled with pornography and darkness. There's the dark web, the dark stuff that happens on there. And a lot of people were like, well, there's too much bad on there to really engage it. But once it was far enough along, we all use the internet. It's our third arm. It's another way that we use our lives is through the internet. And we never knew it was going to be that important, especially after coronavirus. Every church, the pastor became a televangelist, you know, like if they hated TV preachers before that, they didn't after that, because they became one. You know, that's like, everybody used this tool in such a profound way, of video and video conferencing and all these things. Well, AI is another tool. And I was listening to a Christian share about AI, and he gave this like super hopeful perspective. He said something to the effect of like, what if God is allowing man to create all the help we need in the mundane work so it no longer occupies our time as Christians? And I think AI can really help us do what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:20. I'm going to read it, 2:20 through 22. In a large house, there's lots of articles, not only of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble purposes. And the verse 21 says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he's going to be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy and useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. And so in some ways, we might see more tools that are available to take away the tedious toiling part that aligns us more to the core values of connection to God and ourselves and our marriages and our families and the world around us. If we can just get rid of some of these mundane aspects of work that we don't, no one wants to do all the paperwork that we're doing. Nobody wants to do all the IRS work we're doing. No one wants to do all the HR stuff we're doing. And so if we can get rid of a lot of that stuff where we can delegate it, not just to an employee, but to a system that's pretty infallible, that would be incredible as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a career person. Think about doctors, think about lawyers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is huge.
I think it's amazing. And like you just read those scriptures, but if we think about the theme of technology in the Bible and Christian history, I mean, there's some scriptures. Yeah. Cain built a city in Genesis. Noah built an ark. People built the Tower of Babel. This is all in Genesis. King Solomon built a temple in 1 Kings. Jesus used tools as a carpenter. Paul used letters. And then if we go to 2 Chronicles 26:15, listen to this. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I just think when we look in the Bible, we see technology of the day being used. And for a lot of us who are sort of afraid of AI, I think it's the next step. I remember when computers came out, Sean, I was afraid of what's a DOS system? Phones came out and how do you use those? And then the iPhone came out and it was easy. And we've had this iteration of technology. And, you know, in all my life, I've seen the fax machine. I remember when the ATM came out and all of a sudden, hey, I don't have to be finished on a job by 5. I can go to the bank after 5. And all these things have happened. So I'm looking forward to learning about AI. And I think you have helped me in that.
Well, and when you look at the top Fortune 500 companies, all the Fortune 500 companies are using AI and they have an AI plan for this year, but also for the next 3 years. That shows you how fast it's going to overtake us and how much it's going to help us. Again, there's all kinds of negatives that are going to come alongside too, but we want to look as a Christian with a discerning view to say, what can God do with AI for my career, my company, my life, for us? I mean, I do a lot of writing for social commentary journalism, and AI is so helpful. It can't write my content, but it can help me think differently about how I'm going to write or present something. And so most people I know in journalism, or they don't always want to admit it, or commentary, are using AI to come up with themes and ideas. As a matter of fact, so many writers are using it in a prolific way to be able to help them. I mean, you have to hire somebody for, you know, hundreds of dollars an article to write. And if you have AI basically doctor it for you, and then you just go back and fix it, it just saves you so much time in those spheres. And that's just one sphere. So I think it's going to be really profound how this affects us in the good sense. And again, we need to put the right boundaries and the right limits and all those things around it. But man, we're about to hit something that could just be, I don't think it's Terminator we're headed towards. I think there's actually God's help that we're headed for, that AI is a tool that God's giving us for grace to move humanity forward right now. Well, Bob, we have a question of the week. Just like always, we have a question from @Soyenny on YouTube, which is pretty consistent from Christians. And so I'm going to ask you this. I think you're going to be great on this question. And a lot of people who are entrepreneurs or have creative projects ask this. She was asking regards to film, but she says, how do you get funded for your project as a Christian? This is like the most common question we get asked. Again, hers is a film. Did you get it from the ground up, entry level, loan, saving your own money, financing? What are the best ways to get funded? How do Christians think about getting funded?
Well, I think in her question, she said it all. Yes, you save your own money. And then, you know, I remember in my business, credit cards, I was putting putting payroll on credit cards in the early days. And I think you do whatever it takes. You then go to friends and family. These days there's crowdsource funding that you could try. As you get bigger and you have a better plan, you can look at financing from other sources. But I think the best way is, you know, Sean, we always say this, is to make sure you have an incredible strategic plan. So you know where you're going, that have markers in it. And then the same thing with raising money, there are markers as you go. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I feel like we've said this answer in many ways, many times, because it's just, like I said, the most common question we get is, how do I get funded for the dream that I have or the calling that I have? But I do think, like, if you look at other people who've got funded for that specific project, so she's talking about film. So, like, look at who's being funded in the genre of films that you want to make. And how are they being funded? Is it major studios, or is it like Angel Studios, who does a lot of crowdsourcing? Is it like a company like, you know, the guys who did Gods Not Dead type projects, who are doing like these smaller Christian projects? Or is it a mainstream project? Like, and it could be something that's maybe a romantic film. So it could be on Great American Film Channel. Is it a documentary, and who's funding documentaries? So research that a little bit. You're smart enough to be able to use Google to be able to find out how the funding is happening, and then ask God, what is your funding model for me? And really press into that as you're researching and looking at it. Because I think by learning how other people are doing it directly, as opposed to an indirect question, directly looking at your industry and your type of funding, it can teach you to how to ask better questions for.
Well, that's an amazing answer, Sean. And maybe they can even use AI. Well, hey, Sean,
I bet you.
What's our main course for today?
Well, we have William Vanderblumen. I love his last name because it's so distinct. Vanderblumen. William's been a pastor for over 15 years, and then he also combines that experience with executive searching to provide churches with a deep understanding of how church work works, with the very best knowledge and practices of professional executive searches. So they have tons of articles online about researching the job world, pastoral world. He studies an executive search under a mentor with over 25 years of experience at the highest level. William, he served as an experienced human resource manager for a Fortune 200 company. And all these came together, and especially with the pastoral work, to really help prioritize leading growth and innovation in churches all around the country. And they have articles that you wouldn't believe on their website. Like I said before, they're helping people to solve some problems. And they've put together some books and resources for pastoral search committees, for learning the roadmap to irresistible workplace. So not just for the church, but also for the main workplace. And he's become an expert and a leading voice on job readiness and understanding how to find employment, as well as helping other people find employees. So William is in a space right now because of all the layoffs that have been happening over 2024 already, because the job market is still swung towards employees. Yeah. Then what is the conversation we should have in those areas? I want to hear the background story though, of William. I want to hear how we got into this, because you don't go from being a pastor to doing this kind of job without a God story. So let's get into the God story.
Yep. William Vanderblumen up next.
One of the most important revelations and understandings we can have is that there's a provision for every destiny God gives us. And I wrote a book called Keys to Heaven's Economy, which is going to take you on a spiritual journey of revelation, where you're going to understand what's available to you, both in the spirit, but also it's going to unlock you in the natural. Along with this book, if you buy it this month and this month only, you're going to get the Keys and Provision masterclasses that go right alongside this book. I want to encourage you to get the book, sow into your own destiny, your own provision, and your own resources right now, and also sow into Bowles Ministries by going to bowlesministries.com and get yours today.
Well, welcome back, William. We're so glad to have you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Trying to stay warm.
Oh my gosh. Where are you based, William?
The tundra. Actually, no. I'm in Houston, Texas. Oh, and nice. Usually we have winter on a Monday. but it dropped down to 25 night before last, and all the schools canceled.
Oh, wow.
No, we really don't know what to do when it's cold. So I'm just trying to keep warm.
You're trying to keep warm. Well, we're from California, so we understand that. The part of California we're both at is very nice. So we're so sorry you're going through that. Well, I'm excited because, you know, I'm reading through just all the things you do. And I love your pastoral background, but it led you into this incredible company that you've formed that's helping so many people navigate, especially 2024 is such a intense year already. It's like, there's just so much happening. I mean, this the levels of layoffs, the levels of people trying to find the right talent to fit their world. People were making all kinds of decisions that weren't based on real wisdom or based on more political strategists were helping to lead the job market versus actual, you know, career-driven people. And so here your company comes in the middle of it and you guys help solve problems. You help bring research. You help do so much. Talk about how you got involved with this after being a pastor for so long. Like take us on your journey.
Yeah. Well, so the problem with answering, or the problem with asking a recovering preacher an open-ended question.
Yes.
Yes. I'll try not to ramble. So I think I am a chronic entrepreneur. I think it's a condition. I don't know that it's curable. Mm-hmm. I probably ought to get in a support group. Admit that I've got a problem or whatever. But like going all the way back to my earliest jobs, like 6 and 7 years old. And then as a newspaper boy at 9 years old, I was always like just almost compulsively bent toward figuring out how do you grow this? How do you make this happen? I mean, I don't know how much this helps your listeners, but I'm paper route in this little town with no leash law. Okay. So the dogs could go wherever. And I had one client, and that is just the best job for a young person to have. And we can't do it anymore. I had to keep my own P&L, had to do my own collections. Yeah. I had to go buy my own product. I had to sell it myself. So I had this one house that was always late on collections. It was the only house on the road. I would have told, sworn to you, it was a 5-mile road. It was probably about 400 yards. And it is a dirt road. And at the end of the dirt road, they had a big dog that was part Rottweiler, part nasty.
Oh, no.
And I was pretty much the highlight of his day. He sat around waiting on me every day. And I'm like, how do I fix this? Then I'm talking to my buddies who are also 9 and 10-year-old paper boys. And I'm realizing the routes around me were also equally ineffectively laid out. So you're going 5 miles down a road for one person that doesn't. So I bought everybody out and redrew the routes and sold off the pieces I didn't want, got rid of the dog. And
Bob, he's like 9. He's doing the 7.
I got it. But like I said, I
can't imagine.
It's bad. Pray for me. it's just how my mind does. So take that as a snapshot of me. And then I get to undergrad and I'm going to do an MBA in 3 years. And by the time I was 30, I was going to have like maybe the Western Hemisphere under control. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the middle of that, did the prodigal thing in college, which I'm very good at wandering. So I did everything and I've got daughters now. So I know everything they better not bring home. And so, went through a spiritual awakening there, which I can't take any credit for. It really repositioned me. And that's when I decided I want to do something that employs this faith that's really turned things around for me. And I didn't want to be a pastor because, like, here's what I thought pastors were. They wear robes. I guess they wear them in public. I don't know. I've never seen them at the grocery store, but, like, there's that. They have terrible hair and they just ask people for money. And that was pretty much it. So I didn't want to do any of that. So I was going to do a PhD. I took the law school entrance exam. I didn't want, but you wrestle with God, you walk away with a limp and he wins. And so I did. And long story short, went into ministry. Like my high school senior year, I was most likely to succeed. My 10-year high school reunion, I unanimously won the superlative least likely career choice.
Oh, wow.
People were like, they'll let you do that? Like, yeah. They've got no quality control. So pastored, then went through divorce and found myself as a single dad with 4 kids. I would not recommend that. But, you know, God has a way of turning things around when you least expect it. And I met a wonderful woman. We blended our families. I went to work in a very large oil and gas company and because I needed to feed family and I frankly wasn't in any shape to be anybody's pastor. And so I went and worked at this very large company and their CEO, who'd been there 9.5 years, and I didn't know that's a long, long, long time for a CEO to be at a company that size. He said, it's time to find my successor. Okay. Now they had me management rotation, do this department 1 year, this department will teach you the business. So I was in HR for that year, and they hired this thing called a search firm. 90 days later, they had their next CEO, and he ended up staying longer than the guy before him.
Wow.
90 days. So the church world is absolutely terrible at this. Mm-hmm. And it's just no company would survive. So I was pastor at First Presbyterian Houston, which is the oldest church in the city. Very good church, good people. It took them 3 years to find me.
Right.
Wow.
I was there 6 years. It took them 3 years to find the next guy.
Wow. Oh,
and brutal. Everybody just thought, well, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember watching this search firm do this amazing job at Anadarko, where I worked. And I went home. I'm like, well, yeah, I can say this on your show. It doesn't work on every business show. But I'm sitting there with this question in me going, why does the business world have a better solution than the bride?
Mm-hmm.
And I went home, and Adrian and I just bought a house. We'd been married, I don't know, 5 months, six kids, blended family, Brady Bunch, the whole thing. And I went home and I said, babe, I think I'm supposed to quit my job and start something new for churches.
Wow.
Yeah, she looked at me and she said, that's because churches love new ideas, right?
Right.
She's a smart woman.
So you really ought to be interviewing her. She should have said, I love you, but we got people to feed, go back to work. And instead she said, you know what? Let's give it a try. Wow. And it was the fall of 2008, which was just about the dumbest time to quit a secure job and start something new in my life.
But it was a good time to buy a house, though. That was good.
Had money. Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of the start. And so that meant we had nothing. I mean, we started on a card table. And we're both big Dave Ramsey fans. I don't know if that's a name your listeners know. But we're not doing this with debt. I didn't want to go raise money from investors. We don't even know if this is going to work. But let's try. And we built a plan. Like, it wasn't totally blind. We took what little money we had and we said, if we really stretched it, we could make it last about 9 months, maybe. And then we're going to be in real trouble. So we said, okay, if we don't see these markers by this day and this day, then we'll have to reassess. And there were some days where I didn't know, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. There are only so many calls you can make to buddies to say, I'm starting a new thing. You know, you run out of calls to make. The very first real sales meeting I got was a church here in Houston that I didn't really know, but they said, hey, can you come up and talk to us? We might want to hire you to help us find somebody. Cause this is a brand new idea in the church, and church and new ideas,
right?
Not really best friends. So the day they said, let's meet on Thursday. And this was like a Monday. Well, like on Wednesday morning, they start calling for a hurricane watch here in Houston. Oh, and like, nobody go anywhere. We might evacuate. We might not. Da, da, da. And the church calls me to say, hey, we can put this off. We can meet next week or the week after. And I'm like, no. Right. I will be there. Like, my family needs to eat. And we're gonna do whatever we got to do. The point of the story is it was really, really dicey and maybe even dumb for us to do what we did.
Oh, well, William, I love the story. And I love the fact, in the midst of it, that you said that you had a plan with some markers to make sure that as you were going, you were maybe hitting some markers. But talk to us now about kind of the state of not only the church and job searches, but what do you see in the economy? What do you see happening for people who are looking for jobs or building a business?
So let's talk about looking for jobs first and then building a business. How's that?
That's great. Yeah. That's perfect.
Because generally speaking, there are more people looking for jobs than there are people building business. There's a pendulum swing that happens. You can see it if you look through the history of the U.S. economy, where for a while it'll be an employer's world and they can kind of do whatever they want. And I mean, you saw this like in the pre-World War I, in the Industrial Revolution, where you got kids working in factories and people canning processed food with no idea what you're buying. Heinz went bankrupt And their comeback product was the glass bottle for their ketchup so people could see what they were buying.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? Whole other podcast. It's an amazing story. But anyway, the employers were in control back then. And then you get unionization and you get child labor safety laws. And you go, if you fast forward to like the 50s, the employees are actually in control because it's high labor law sort of thing. It swung back. It has been swinging in since the pandemic in favor of people who are the employees. You know, that I'm looking for a job. Well, that's hot commodity because there's a great resignation. There's a this, there's a that. My sense is that pendulum is about to swing right back to the employers.
Right.
So what does that mean if you're looking for a job? Don't be too choosy. Okay. Now, this one's going to get me in trouble. Your listeners are going to hang up. Sorry. Don't over-negotiate your salary or your employment contract. That's been a big marker. I've got millennial kids, Gen Z kids, and Gen A kids. And all three of them think, well, I'll just keep negotiating because they're used to like negotiating with Google or whatever. I don't know. But it doesn't work. Wow. The best thing to do is take the job at the best terms offered and then make them feel sad that they ever paid you that little.
Right. Exactly. Wow. Thank you. That's great.
So that's a very real trend right now. It wasn't that case 3 years ago, but it's unemployment's very low right now. And the whole, I'll just go work from wherever and I'll demand that I get Tuesday through Friday remote. And like, you need to be really careful or you're going to throw away an opportunity to do something great with your life.
Well, it's interesting too, because it feels like employers, I love that you're saying it's swinging back towards employers, because it feels like employers are kind of fed up with all the terms that people are giving them. It's like, I just need to get our company's job done. And I can't do it around everyone else's agenda. And that's, I keep hearing that from different employers. Like, I have a millennial who's asking to work remotely, but we need them here. I'm like, just tell them you need them there. Like, just, they're not indispensable. They feel indispensable. I don't know. And I'm like, get over the fear.
Super low hanging fruit for people looking for a job, though.
Yeah. You know,
I'd be happy to come into the office.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to get you a second interview right away. No, I don't need to work remotely.
Wow.
So, and job hunters, this is not evil plans of the man to keep you down by not doing remote. Okay, here's the reality. I'm a business owner. I've had this happen to me. I got somebody working remotely. They're getting the work done that I'd like done, and they're getting it done good enough to not get fired. And then you find out they're doing the same thing for two other companies.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just zero supervision. And, you know, if you like the idea of Jesus, then you've got to get comfortable with the fact that we're not good left to our own devices. We need some accountability and some control. So if you just say, I'd love to show up at the office, do you have a physical office where I can work from? You have no idea how that's going to get you in the door and to the next interview super quickly.
Wow. So,
yeah, that's on the job searcher side. You mentioned the building a company side. What a great time to be alive, man.
Right.
I mean, what a great time to be building a company. And that, William, that's easy to say, you got an office view and all that. No. I've done every year, all of our clients kind of dry up in August. And it used to be, don't let William near a tall building in August. Because I'd be like, this is it. No one's ever going to go again. We're done. Let's go. And after 15 years, I've finally gotten there. But I get that the entrepreneur's journey is not straight up and to the right. It's three steps backward and a half step forward and one step this way.
Yeah.
And it's,
you
know, it's everywhere, right? So I get it. But what a fabulous time to be alive. I mean, think about every time there's been a real breakthrough, okay, a global breakthrough for something good, it's always right after a communication breakthrough. Printing press, Roman roads, Alexander uniting world under one Greek language. I can go on and on and on. When there's a communication breakthrough, there's a prosperity breakthrough that happens after that. It's just, you can't fight that pattern. And the really cool thing, by the way, if you are one that is fascinated with Jesus, the biggest breakthroughs in the church, in church history, always happen right after communication breakthroughs. And so, like, think about where we're sitting. The internet was already a big deal. Right. And it was happening. The pandemic actually forced us all to use it.
Yeah.
I really think we're on the brink of communication breakthrough. You can even say AI, like you can get nervous and scared about what AI is going to do your job. Or you can say, what a phenomenal time to say, how do I live alongside this and offer something that's never been offered before? So if you're starting something new, keep after it. Don't keep after it at your family's risk. I mean, build a plan with some markers, right, but keep after it. And don't quit when it's hard.
Yeah.
Just don't.
I'm going to go back to
when it was just me as the only guy in the company other than my dog. I had an automatic voicemail set up for Mondays that if you called me on Mondays, I'd say, hi, it's Monday. If you're calling me to say you think it's time to change jobs, please call me back on Tuesday. Mondays are hard, man.
Exactly. They are. Like waking up on Mondays for anybody who's in the working world is like, no one should be planning anything extra on Monday for sure.
No.
I'm going to go back because I hope this isn't too personal, but I'm going to go back to your pastor. You go through a divorce.
Yeah.
And you're having to recreate your life and you have all this entrepreneurship inside of you. And how did God give you courage in the midst of that? Because that's like to a lot of pastors in their hearts, it's like a death sentence to go through that. It's gotten better. People are doing much better with people who've gone through different processes and different life choices and hardship. But like that's such a marker in your life. But it's so really what do you think the catalyst was for you to say, I can rebuild with God in this area? Because now you're such a voice to the whole church. Really, you're doing more for the church now than you ever did as a pastor of a local church.
I'm learning as I go. But I'll tell you, man, I've always done well at every job I've had to some degree. People would say successful. So when you have to step away from a career that you're there to serve Jesus, you're there to serve the local church, but on the like metrics scale, the career had gone up into the right really fast. Mm. And then to have my life fall apart, and then by default, really, you shouldn't be taking care of somebody when you're going through that. You know, like you need to step back. Maybe you step back in, but you step back. When you step back from ministry, I don't know that I still realize just how all-consuming vocational ministry is.
Right. Right.
I had a professor who used to say, and I never got it until this chapter of my life. He said, the church is a very jealous mistress.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It takes all of your world. So it's not just, it's where I go to work. It's where I go to work and all the people I go to church with. And my personal life is there. And my kids are growing up in this church. And my spouse is trying to build. When all of that goes away, you'd be amazed how little the phone rings.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
Most people go to work and they do work and then they go to bowling league or golf or pickleball or whatever the thing is. And they've got their other worlds. All those get collapsed into one thing in the church. Yeah. And it is super depressing when that goes away and you realize, actually, I'm not as important as I thought I was.
Mm. Well, it is interesting, William, that hopefully you had a group of businessmen around you or people around you who were able to prop you up, because it is the loneliest job on the planet, the hardest job on the planet.
Yeah.
And hopefully the courage that you found was from people who believed in you and were able to walk alongside of you.
Yes. And it is people that walked alongside me and offered encouragement, but it was also people, and sorry, this is a hard word for those of you listening, mm-hmm. is people who said, William, you need to get it together and get your head in the game. Life's too short to sit around and mope.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And my wife was one of the lead singers in that band. And well, I'm really, seriously, a great marriage is where your spouse calls things out of you that you would have never found on your own. And that's not just sweet, lovey, lovey. Like, that's like, how do we sharpen each other? How do we get better? And I think that one relationship in my story was the one that pushed me on. But it wasn't like, okay, and now we dust ourselves off. I remember sitting, I got a traffic ticket for not yielding or something or another. And this was while I was in between jobs. I wasn't even to Anadarko yet. And I remember taking online defensive driving to get it, you know, reduced or whatever. And I'm taking online defensive driving sponsored by the Comedy Channel at noon in a bathrobe in my house. And I thought, William, this is not, we can't keep it. There's got to be a change. Yeah. I think that was bottom for that moment. Yeah. But it's hard. I mean, there is a liar out there who wants to tell you you can't get it done.
Yeah.
There is a liar that would love to have you not believe in your potential. And then on the other side, you know, we're supposed to be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. Yeah. Believe in your potential and what you have to do and find good friends, but put a plan in place so that if it's not the right thing, you've got time to step into the next thing.
I think that's, I'm so glad you shared all this, because I think when people see or understand the success that your company and what you've built has now, I just think it's so profound to hear of, like, we all are human and we go through our things. And how do we overcome? And I just love to see that you've not only overcome, but you're in an iteration of life that you couldn't have built without God. And it's so beautiful.
I am learning every day.
Yeah.
You know, when Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, it was probably his first letter. That's most scholars would say. So he starts the thing out saying, Paul, an apostle, called by men, not by God, and called by God, not by men. And you're like, okay, this guy has no self-esteem issues, right? You go later in his life to arguably the last letter that he wrote, and he calls himself the chief of all sinners. And so what I'm learning is, I was a cocky 31-year-old that knew everything and probably really good at ticking people off. And I'm just learning. And then I learned how irrelevant I am to God getting done what he wants to get done. And now I'm trying to learn, how do I fit in with the things that he's given me so that I can make a difference, but never lose sight of my irrelevance in the plan, if that makes sense.
So I think it's called humility, maybe. William, thank you so much. How do people get a hold of you as we wrap up? I know
that's simple. Books. Just type Vanderblumen into Google, and no matter how you spell it, you'll end up at our site.
That was about your book, though. You have a recent book that just came out as well. I want people to care about
it. Well, it actually is why we named the company what we did, because the SEO guys said, yeah, your name's that messed up. You just misspell it. So do that. You'll find resources for leading. They're totally free. Anything I've learned that I can help you with, just go. There are probably 4,000 resources at vanderblumen.com. Did write a book recently. We don't need to go into it, but Be the Unicorn. It's basically, we were able during the pandemic, we had extra time, and we decoded what are the things that the very best candidates do that cause them to stand out in the crowd. That's and it's amazing. Learnable and it's teachable. And if you're trying to stand out in the crowd as a business owner or as an individual, hopefully it helps you. It's at the website. If you want bonus content and all the free stuff and all that, go to theunicornbook.com.
Perfect. I love that. That is so good. Well, William, it's been a privilege to have you on and just hear your story. And I know we want to hear from you again, because you're just such a profound thinker and communicator. So thank you so much. And for everybody who's watching and listening, I want to make sure that you know that we're on here every week. And please subscribe to the channel, hit notifications so you can get the next episode from someone as profound as William, hopefully in the future.
Okay. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments, where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.